Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Yes, Lord. I tell you what, do me a favor. Y'all do favors? Do me a favor. Has God been good to you?
Yes.
Are you thankful for what you have?
Yes.
Then stand up and give him the biggest praise that you have in you right now. Yes, Lord. Shout to the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. He's worthy of it all. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. It's good to be here today, isn't it? And we got some people from Green Hill visiting with us today. We're so glad to have you. And I know we got probably some other visitors as well, but I met these wonderful people. They're visiting with us and trying to see what God's doing in the county and amidst churches. So I sort of like that idea. I really do. But I'm going to share something with you today. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 61. A very familiar passage. But I'm going to give you, I'm hoping I can finish this today, to two more points of our spiritual warfare. Some of the things hopefully has helped you over the past weeks, and has brought us to the place that we understand a spiritual warfare that we're in, but we also understand how to fight it and not fight against flesh and blood, not to fight against people. So we're not, you understand what I'm saying? So he says this in chapter 61, this is a passage that Jesus stood up, he was in the wilderness. And he left the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit into. That always bothered me. He's led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Spirit led him there, which means for you and I, the Spirit every once in a while is going to lead us to a dry place. But it's for testing. It is for testing and it's for proving. But he came out. The Bible says he came out in the fullness of the Spirit. He came out full. You know, so that's what we need to understand in this passage. But I want you, Jesus got up and read this when he came back from the wilderness. He got up in the synagogue and read this passage. Actually, he turned to it. It wasn't the set scripture that he was supposed to read. He turned to it. And that's when he said this, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners." So he was letting the people know, here I am. Here I am. The Spirit of the Lord God, that we need to understand what he's saying here, the Spirit of the Lord. That word Lord is Adonai. Adonai. The Spirit of Adonai. Adonai is my Lord. Adonai is my owner. Do you hear what I'm saying? So I'm asking you, is he your Lord? If he's your Lord, you're going to do what he tells you to do. Is he your Lord? Is he your owner? But he said, the Spirit of my Lord, my owner, is upon me. That word upon means to, it occupies his mind. And it exercises authority over him. That word upon means that. Adonai is upon me. It occupies my mind. He occupies my mind. He rules over me. He is my authority. I want to ask you, can you say that today? Can you say that with honesty? Can you say that with transparent life? Is he your Lord? He said, and then he says, because, he said this, because the Lord, all caps, the Lord has anointed me. This is Yahweh. This word, Lord, is Yahweh. What does that mean, Pastor? It means I am that I am. I am everything. I'll always be your everything. I'll always be everything you need, everything that you have, I am. Are you hearing me? Everything that you stand in need of, I am that I am. So he says, okay, Yahweh is upon me because he occupies my mind because he's telling me what to do. He's giving me the instructions. And not only that, he has anointed me. He has given me an anointing of the I am that I am. He's empowered me. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, my Lord, my owner has empowered me. I wonder how many of you can say that. Has the Lord empowering you? You know, we say, yeah, he's my Lord. And the pastor's over there said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I'm telling you to do? It's one thing to call him Lord. It's another thing to do what he says. Everybody with me? How many of you have ever had that moment where you didn't really do what the Lord wanted you to do? I got four honest, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, all right. I know it includes everybody. I know it does. I know it includes everybody, including myself. He said, but I've been anointed to preach good news. So he was empowered by the anointing of God, the great I am, to bind up brokenhearted, to bind up those that are saddened and broken. Well, I tell you, we've got a job to do. I see a lot of broken people every time I go out. A lot of saddened, broken lives. Broken people. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I really don't know. They're broken. And every time you see a broken person, God is telling you, I'm what they need. I'm what they need. Give me to them. Give me to them. Tell them about me. Tell them about what I've done for you. Share your story of my life inside your life to them. Then it says, and proclaim liberty to the captives. There's a lot of people that are trapped. A lot of people that are trapped, captive to different things. So anytime you see people, well, I'm captivated by this. I'm captured. I just can't get loose. I'm bound up. Well, guess what I got? I got the one that sets people free. And I can testify how he set me free. How about you? So we can do that. And to give freedom, to proclaim freedom to the prisoners. Now, I opened up with this because there's another anointing that Jesus had other than this one. Would you like to know what it is? Come back next week and we'll share it with you. No, I'm going to share it with you today. I'm going to hope I'm going to get it all out. Here's one. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 1. It's very important. I mean, this anointing that Jesus is telling about is great. And he said, hey, what he's given me, I give to you. That's Jesus' word. What he's given me, I give to you. Sometimes we feel like, you know, God did that for his son, but I don't have that. No, Jesus said, what the Father has given to me, I have given to you. Let that sink in for a minute. Is it the truth? It's what Jesus said. Do we believe him? I don't know, but it's what Jesus said. Okay, chapter 1, Hebrews. For thou hast loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, thy God. Now, see that again? God, thy God. Your Adonai, my Lord, my owner. So he doubles it up there. He said, therefore, God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy companions. So what's the other anointing? God, in this passage, he's talking to the Son. You have loved righteousness and you have hated evil. You've hated lawlessness. See, a lot of people say, well, you know, I really love righteousness. But they, when they say righteousness, they think right standing with God. It does mean that, but not in this verse. We should love our right standing with God. He did it for you. He made you in right standing with him. But that's not what this verse talks about. This righteousness that he says he loved righteousness, this word righteousness means conformity to the standard of oneself with God's holy character. I love the conformity to God's character. Not just I'm in right standing with God. That is great. We have peace with God because of him. But he said, what I love to see the transformation of lives that actually become Christ-like. Not just know about him, but produce him in life, through life. He said, I love righteousness. Christ-likeness is one of the, Christ-likeness is one of the things that we do every year in a class called ICIT, In Christ's Image Training. I recommend every single person. I've been through it 5-6 times. Why, are you that slow of learning? I'm that slow in about everything I do. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer to get through the thickness right here. But it's just a good refresher course as well, But anyway, to be like Christ. See, Romans tells us over in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for whom he did, whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. God's predestined idea for you and I upon being saved is what? To become like his Son. Not just become saved. Saved is great. We need it. We need our salvation. We'll never become like his Son without being saved. That's the beginning. I love salvation, but it is the beginning of a whole new world, a whole new kingdom. It's the beginning. He said, you love righteousness. You love the conformity. Thank you very much. Y'all want to swallow? Do you love to see conformity in your life to being like Christ? Does it make you glad to see that you passed a test or a temptation that came from the enemy? You passed it because you were like Christ in the middle of it. Do you love that? Do you love to see it in other people? Do you love to see it when you know they're going through a difficult time? And then you watch them a little bit, and then all of a sudden you begin to see they came right through the fire. Didn't even smell like smoke. Why is that? The oil of gladness. Let's watch this. He said, I love righteousness. He said he hated lawlessness. We don't, you know, somebody said, well, you're not supposed to hate anything. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're supposed to hate evil. Not people. Hate evil, hate lawlessness. He said this thing about hate lawlessness is the word hate means to detest. It means to disregard. It means to have no use for it. To hate means I have no use for that. What have I got no use for? Lawlessness. Lawlessness. What is lawlessness? What do I hate? I hate being ungoverned by God. I hate being ungoverned by God. Just doing whatever you want to do, doing your own thing, doing whatever anybody else wants you to do. That's not being governed by God. That's being governed by everything else. So we have got to be able to hate lawlessness. And, you know, so if we don't hate lawlessness, we'll be governed by sin. We'll be governed by iniquity. We'll be governed by things of the world and not by Him. Here's the problem. We go easy on evil. Sometimes. We go easy on evil and call it compassion. Do you hear it? All of a sudden, here's an evil thing, and I go easy on it, and I say, I'm just having compassion. No. No, you just lost your hate for evil. Now you're giving in, you're caving in to a compromise that don't want to maybe make somebody mad, don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You know, we don't hurt people's feelings on purpose. But how many of you have ever been hurt by the truth? You've been hurt by the truth. When the truth shows up, the truth hurts sometimes, but it will help you. Faithful, or what? The wounds of a friend. Somebody really loves you, they'll tell you the truth. Knowing it's going to hurt, knowing that you might not like them afterwards, they love you enough to be a friend to you. You might not speak to them for a month, but they're going to tell you the truth because we need to hear it. Anyway, he loved righteousness. He hated evil. We don't have enough hate. So, Pastor, I don't like the word hate. Well, you better learn to like it when it comes to lawlessness, when it comes to evil. You don't hate the people, but you hate what they do. How many of you ever loved somebody that did wrong? Okay. Well, we're learning. We're learning how to love people, but yet we've got to be able to tell the truth. We've got to be able to hate what they did. What do they need? They need the truth about what they did. The truth about here's the consequences. Here's some this lawless thing, being ungoverned by God. Ungoverned by God. My Lord, my owner, occupies my mind, and He exercises authority in my life. Can you say that? This oil of gladness, the word oil here means that it means to bring enlightenment. So they used to use oil to burn lights, to make lights burn, to make the candles burn, oil lamps burn. Enlightens the heart to their need of God. He didn't just say, I'm going to anoint, I've anointed you with gladness. No, He said, I've anointed you with the oil of gladness. I've anointed you with an enlightenment for you to see your need of me. Do you ever see the need that you have of God? Or are you one of them or one of us sometimes that says, I got this? How many of you ever said that? I can do this by myself. I got this. Y'all with me? No. What we got? Say the word, nothing. We got nothing. He's got it all. He said, I'm going to smear upon you, that word anoint means, I'm going to smear upon you an awareness, an alert awareness of your need for me. It's not, listen, that word smear, it's not a Brill Cream moment. You're showing your age by your laughter. Brill Cream moment, what is that? Tell me. A little dab will do you. Just a little dab of anointing will do you. No, and when he anoints, he smears you. He smears all. He greases you up with the oil of gladness. See, this oil of gladness, why do we need the oil of gladness? What does this gladness mean anyway? It means to have exceedingly abundant joy. Not just a little joy. How many of you had just a little bit of joy? I'm a little bit of joy. No, he said, I've anointed you. I've smeared you with me. I've smeared you with the fullness of exceeding joy. What does that mean? I'll tell you exactly what that means. I've anointed joy into great excesses in your life, that when you go through something that is very difficult, you'll recognize your need of me, and you'll also see that I've already done it for you. Already. So what it does, it increases the effectiveness of our walk in God. Do you want your walk in God to be effective? You need. I got one. I'm gonna look for a couple of more. Do you want your walk in God to be effective?
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, how's that gonna happen? Love righteousness, hate lawlessness. To receive that anointing, that's how Jesus got it. He said, "Thou hast loved righteousness, and thou hast hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness." Why is that? Because when you go through difficult times, you'll be constantly reminded who he is, who you are, and what he's given you, and what he's empowered you with, and you'll be able to fulfill every step of your walk that he has given you to walk. Every step of your walk. Oh, amen, amen. Over in chapter 5 chapter 5, verse 11. Blessed are you when men cast insults to you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Then he says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. That exceedingly glad, you know what he's saying? You need the anointing of the oil of gladness to be able to go through the persecution of doing right. That's a need that we have. Did Jesus need it? Absolutely, because God gave it to him. His Father, his God, thy God, gave it to him. And that word rejoice means to be able to greet and address others with abundant joy. You're going through a hard time. You're going through a tough time. You're going through your biggest trial of your life. You just can't, or you just don't understand. I mean, everything's just falling apart or whatever it is. And he said, when you're going through that and you're doing what I'm telling you to do, he said, I want you to greet others with abundant joy. How is your day today? How are you doing today, brother? Even though your world looks like it's falling apart, how are you doing today? I got good news for you. Here's the good news. No matter what you go through, he goes through it with you. And not only does he go through it with you, he takes care of it as you're walking through it and takes care of you through it. So when persecution comes for doing what he wants us to do, you need the oil of gladness, the anointing of gladness. How do I get it? How do I get the oil of gladness? Love righteousness. Hate lawlessness. Say it with me. Love righteousness. Hate lawlessness. Don't mean people. It means that lawless deeds. See, this oil of gladness releases a celebration of God no matter what you're going through. Can you say the celebration of God? The oil of gladness releases a celebration of God no matter what you're going through. No matter what you're going through. Here's one. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter, the finisher of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Uh-oh. What's he facing? Cross. He's facing death. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What do we see in this thing? He says, it was set before him. What was set before him? The exceeding joy. He sees a cross, but beyond the cross, what does he see? See, this word set before him means that it has a destiny that is revealed to you. Part of your destiny is being revealed to you. He said, for the joy, the exceeding joy that he had, that he was able to endure the hardship and the death of the cross. He was able to endure, and he's able to despise the shame. Yeah, that despise the shame, you know what that means? Don't even think about it. Say, well, that's a shame. No, not a shame to me. I got joy set before me. I see the destiny. I see the destiny of where I'm going. I see the destiny that he has in me, and I can go through whatever it is that's standing in my way. It's going to produce what God wants to produce from my life, in my life. But this word about fixing, I've got to hurry. This word about fixing, what does it mean to fix? You know, if we don't study the scripture, we'll miss this very valuable word here. Fixing your eyes upon Jesus. That don't mean to look at. Do you hear me? I don't mean to look at. What does it mean? Say, what does it mean, Pastor? I'll tell you this week, not next week. Here's what it means. This word fixing is like a repentance in nature. It's like a repentance in nature. What does it mean? He said, it means this. Turn away. This is first in that word. Turn away from what you're looking at. To what's distracted you. Turn away in order to be able to turn to him. Have you ever been, have you ever went down the road doing this? You know, all of a sudden you're distracted by something. Well, what do you need to be looking at? My wife is a 10-2 person. What do you mean 10-2? 10 o'clock? 2 o'clock. I can pass her. She'll be coming up for healing rooms. I'll be going home from work, and I'll be riding by, and I'll see her. I'll see the car coming. I'll be going. She's going. Am I telling the truth? You know, and sometimes I see her coming. I'll be hitting the horn. I'll be hitting the horn. She's like 10-2. 10-2. I'm like the most boring driving I've ever seen in my life. But it's probably the safest driving that I've seen. But that's her. Fixing. Turn away from. You got to be able to turn away from something to turn to. That's repentance. Repentance. What is repentance? I got to be able to turn from this thing that I'm thinking about, that I'm doing. And a lot of people say, well, I'm going to come to the altar and I'm going to cry. And I'm going to plan to cry, but I'm just going to be real sorrowful for what I've done. And you can go back the same person. Because remorse is not repentance. Crying over what you've done is not repentance. That's regret. Repentance is when I am regretful for what I've done, and I may cry over it. But unless I turn to him, I haven't repented. I've told you this before. We're going down the road, and Pastor John's going to Charlotte, but he heads, what's the opposite of Charlotte? Asheville. So he heads to Asheville, and I said, he's supposed to be going to Charlotte. So I get in my car. I chase him down, and I catch him flashing lights. I'm telling you a story. Catch him. Something wrong, Pastor? I said, yeah, something wrong. You're going the wrong way. You're supposed to be going to Charlotte. Oh, man, I am. I'm supposed to be going to Charlotte. Where am I headed? You're headed toward Asheville. Oh, no, I've already wasted the 45 minutes to an hour. Okay, Pastor John, I'll see you later. So I get in the car, and Pastor John starts his truck up, and guess what he continues to do? Head to Asheville. He was sorry that he wasted an hour, but he's still heading in that direction. What did he not do? He didn't repent. He didn't turn to go the right way. All right. So what is this thing that I need? What is this thing I need to turn from? It's in verse 1 of Hebrews. We just read verse 2. Verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Now, that's not people standing around looking at them. That's chapter 11, faith people. Witnessing to us, we see the witnesses that have witnessed how they stood the ground in their faith. And he says, let us also. What does that mean? Let us do like they did. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance, everything that besets it, or everything that burdens us, every burden or weight, let us lay aside. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. He's already paid for that. Absolutely. He paid for every sin that you've ever done. Once and for all. Is that it? No, that's not it. That's great, but you have a part to play. This word lay aside, the verb is this. It means that you have to do the laying aside. And then once you lay aside, the richness of his benefit is now yours. He's already forgiven the sin, but you ain't laid it down. Do you hear me? People said, well, you know, he's already forgiven me, so I'm just going to go ahead and sin. No, he said, God forbid that we continue to sin because grace is abounding. Repentance is huge in a believer's life. Do I have to come to the altar to repent? That's a good question. Do I? Do I have to wait for Sunday to repent? No. So the repentance is a changing of my mind that I'm not going to go that direction anymore, but I'm going that one. It's a turning away from, fixing it, turning away from in order to go to. So the problem is we have Christians that want to live the right standing with God. We got right standing? Yep, we got right standing with God. We got Christians that will have the right standing with God, but their walk will not be producing because they have not laid aside what he's already forgiven. What does that mean? It means that, okay, power, sin used to have power over you. Not anymore. New creation, not reformed, not a different version or another model. No, a new creature, a new creation. Boy, that's good. It really is. Lay aside. Let me do this. What it says, lay aside these things that it's an encumbrance, it's a burden, or it's a weight. Then it also said, and sin which so easily entangles you, or besets you. That's what he said, lay aside. You have to lay it aside. He's already forgiven it. Now you lay it aside. What does lay aside mean? It means to renounce. It means to give it up. To renounce, disown it, give it up. Every weight, every burden, and every sin that does so easily beset. This word easily beset means this. You're going to love this. It gives favor, entangles. It gives favor to prevail. Got it? It gives favor to prevail. In other words, what it means, it leaves it standing around. Are you hearing me? Well, I got this lying thing that I really, it's hard for me to just tell the truth or whatever it is, whatever the sin is that hangs you up. It can be anything. Whatever it is. I got this thing, I know it. And he said, when it is not laid aside, when it is not renounced, when it is not saying, I disown it, have nothing to do. See, he's empowered you and I to do it. Why? Because he has broken the power of sin over your life. Tell your neighbor, he has broken the power of sin over your life. Tell your neighbor that. I still do this, Pastor. That's because you've not laid it aside. Do you hear me? You've not. What is it? Excuse me. It's excuse me. The blood pressure medicine that I'm on causes a cough. So what is this thing about? Renounce it, but if you don't lay it aside, it'll entangle you. What does this word entangle mean? What does this word beset? It means it leaves it to prevail at another time. What does it mean? It's standing around. Basically, it means it's standing around. Well, I really got a problem with lying. Well, lying is just standing around, just waiting. Standing around. Why? You hadn't laid it aside. You hadn't done away with it. He's already forgiven it. He said, do away with it. Do away with it. Renounce it. Repent from it. Don't go that way. Go this way. To hang around. I've had things hanging around me. It's like, why in the world am I still? Why is that still bothering me? The reason it still bothers me is because I have not laid it aside. I have not renounced it. I have not repented. It's like this. I was working. Been a long time ago. I was working, and the boy's name was Bob, and I said. I told my foreman, I said, tell me about Bob. He said, Bob, I'll tell you right now, Bob is not afraid of work. And I said, well, that's how I want to be. He said, no, not really. And I said, why is that? He said, he can lay down right beside work and go to sleep. All right. So where's that in the message? It wasn't. It just is an add-on. So this thing about turning aside, an Old Testament passage in Exodus chapter 3, Moses has fled for his life because he's killed an Egyptian. He's out here for 40 years taking care of his father-in-law's sheep out in the wilderness. And standing out in the wilderness, he looks at a distance and he sees a fire burning. Now, he's seen fires burn before. Over in Deuteronomy, it says that he's seen there's been fires. These bramble, briar weeds, they'll catch on fire, but they'll go out. But this one, it didn't go out. It didn't go out. And the passage says, he turned and looked, but it wasn't, the bush was not consumed. So Moses said this, I must turn aside now. I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight. What does that mean? He said, I've got to leave what I'm doing. He's leaving all these sheep, and he's got to go over here to see this fire that won't go out. And it says, I must turn aside now and see this because the bush is not burned up. Verse 4, love it. What does he say? When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush. God called to him. I'm going to turn aside. I'm going to turn aside from what has my attention, and I'm going to go to this thing over here. And he turns and he goes to this bush that's burning. It won't go out. He said, when God saw that that's what he did, listen, he said, he spoke to him. He encountered God. Do you hear it? He encountered God. He called to Moses and he said this. Listen to this. What did he call? What did he say? Moses. Moses. He called. He said, I know your name. I know everything about you. And Moses returns and says, here I am, Lord. Here I am. So what do we get from that? The turning aside. It will foster a deeper relationship with your walk with God. Because he sees you when you turn aside from doing this thing that you're not supposed to be doing. Turn aside from it and turn to him. He said, you will encounter my voice. You'll encounter my speaking to you. You'll encounter a different relationship with me. A better relationship with me. Okay. So we stand here today and we sit here today wondering what our lives are going to be like when we leave here. What choices will we make today upon hearing the Word of God talk about repentance and talk about leaving the thing, laying it aside, pushing it aside? He's already forgiven it, but he said, renounce it, disown it. That's like says, you know, said, my headache. It's not your headache. Do you hear what I'm saying? My headache. No, that's not your headache. It's your head is hurting, but it's not your headache. It's from the enemy. Call upon God. Don't start claiming it's mine. It's mine. No, it's not yours. It doesn't belong in the temple. Turn from the thing. Turn aside in order to be able to go forward, to go toward. Set before me the joy that was set before him. So here you are, you're going to be facing another encounter that's really tough. I don't know what I'm going to do. This is happening. This is going on. What have I got to do? I got to turn aside from whatever's distracting me. I got to understand that he's already set this thing inside me to be able to repent. See, the thing is, I've got to be able to lay it down in order to go forward. I got to be able to give it up in order to go forward. I got to be able to turn from this sin that's forgiven, but I got to be able to turn from this sin to engage God deeper. He said he saw the cross, he saw the difficulty, his destiny of joy was set before him because he knew what he was going to be taken care of during, even though he's going to die. The joy that was set before him. You know, do you know part of that joy? Do you know what part of that joy was? Go ahead, John. Me. All of you was part of that joy. He saw all of you coming to him through his sacrifice. He said, when he said it, despised the shame, he said he gave no thought to the shame. You know, have you ever heard this? Have you ever been told this? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You hear that? Yeah. If you tell your kids that, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You're just putting shame on them. You need to have shame for that. No, pay no attention to the shame. Let's learn what not to do again. Well, your next trial, your next thing that you go through, you have a couple of more weapons in your warfare arsenal that you can say, I really need to be able to have abundant, exceeding, excessive joy even when I'm going through a difficult thing. How do you get that? What is it? Love, righteousness, hate lawlessness. Not people. Love, righteousness, love, conformity to being Christ-like. And hate lawlessness. Hate the evil, not the people. Let's stand. There's another point, but it'll take me another 45 minutes to get to it. Did you learn anything today? Thank you, Lord. There may be someone here that doesn't know him, doesn't know Christ. You want to settle that? You want to settle that today? I'm ready for that. You're saying, I'm ready. I'm ready to do that. I'm ready to surrender my life to God. You hadn't fully surrendered your life to God. I'm ready to surrender. Is that you? Raise your hand. Okay. Now, might not need salvation, but do you need repentance? We all need it. Listen, I didn't do this. I was going to do it. I didn't do this. So what is this thing? What are all these things that you're talking about to lay aside? Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, hatred, senseless arguments, resentment, selfishness, temper tantrums. Temper tantrums. Have you ever seen one? I saw one on aisle four the other day. I saw a mama dragging a child. The child wasn't walking, it was dragging, but he was just, temper tantrum. I mean, it didn't bother her not one bit. It upset the whole store. Temper tantrum. Arrogant, envy, murder, wicked schemes, greed, cruelty, jealousy, sowing strife, excuse me, hateful arguments, full of hostility, gossip. Somebody say, gossip, pride, being judgmental, judging people, destructive criticism, fault finders, finger pointers, accusers, condemning others, causing division, disunity, angry outbursts. All this is in the Bible, by the way. It said selfish ambition, slander, railing, conceited, backbiting. Backbiting, rebellion against authority. Quarrelsome, covetousness, desiring the praise of men, gluttony, idolatry, murmuring, stealing, flattery to gain advantage, grumblers, the love of money, drunkenness, bitterness, vanity, mockers, unforgiving, lawlessness, love of the world, love of the flesh, love of the eyes, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, malice. Malice is deep-seated meanness. You ever seen it? Yeah, look, dear, deep-seated meanness. Evil intent and guile. The Bible said that there was no guile found in the mouth of Jesus. What does that mean? There's no trickery to deceive. It was straight at, he was straight on board with him. Schemer, he wasn't a schemer. Now, that's a list of things that you need to lay aside. Got work to do, people. You know, how many of them did he forgive? Every single one of them. How many of those do we need to lay aside? Every single one of them. All right. Let's pray. God, help me. God, help me. Guide me with your spirit. Teach me to love righteousness and to hate lawlessness. Help me to lay it aside, lay things aside, and to pursue you. Help me, Lord. I'm yours. You are my God, my Lord, my owner. I surrender to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.